Today on Real Radio.
God will work in your life to some degree or another to bring the gospel out of your life as a believer. The world is in need of Christians to go public.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 5 and verses 16 through 19, Paul uses the term reconcile four times as he describes the new life we believers now have in our Creator. This is the well-known passage that reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his series simply called Get a Life.
God wants you to get a life. When I say get a life, it means that the life that you and I came into this world having, according to the Bible, was not a life at all. That's right. The Bible announces to us that you and I came into this world in need of a new life. You may have been born as cute as a button, but latent within you, latent within us, is that sin nature. The Bible calls it a sin nature, that we are all sons and daughters of original mom and dad, Adam and Eve. We may not carry their eye color or hair color or nose, but we carry within us something that is much more powerful, and that is their spiritual DNA. And the interesting thing about this, according to the scripture, is that we as humans, we don't like to admit it, but when we have children, they're so cute, but we have to teach them to tell the truth. Isn't that bizarre? You would think with their cuteness, they would also be honest. Now, don't get me wrong. There's the part of the children that are really, it's fun and sweet, and they can be honest and brutally honest. But there comes a point when in a child's life, you didn't teach them this, but they'll tell you a little lie. You'll ask them about something, and they'll say, "I don't know. Did you eat the cookies, for example, in the kitchen? Told you not to eat them. Did you eat them?" "No." And they have the evidence all around their cheeks. Where does that come from, that preservation to protect self to the point of lying, to the point of rebelling even? The moment you tell a child, "Don't do this right here. You can do all this, but don't do this," all of a sudden they're focused on that thing. And, you know, we would look at that and think about that, but we're the exact same way. We see a posted speed limit, and it really, is this just me or is it you too? It's us, huh? Really? I mean, 55 or 65 sounds like a suggestion to me. Until you see the blue lights and the red lights, and it's within us. And we don't like to admit it, but it's true. And the Bible tells us we need to get a new life, and God alone provides a new life. And today, as we get into this study, I've thought about, I've rehearsed how this is going to come out today, and I've concluded after first service quickly that there's no way of winning this. This is serious stuff today. Now, listen, things are going to get hot in here, and the Holy Spirit's going to convict us. And I want you to listen to him speaking to you. He may correct some of you. He may chastise some of you. He may call to some of you and invite you to be a Christian today. But I want you to be listening to what God does inside of you. And I want you to think about the dynamic of that. You're hearing words from the outside. We're not talking about things that don't matter, because they do matter, and they are of God, powered by God. They will affect your inside. To get a new life, I'm reminded as we get into this study, years ago, maybe some of you remember me telling this, I forget when it was, but it had to be quite a while ago, because we were on vacation. I'll give you one guess where we were at, and it was just the four of us, our daughters. They're not yet married, and we were on this boat. We got up early in the morning and took one of those tour cruise things where you go out and snorkel. A good part of the day, they serve breakfast, they serve lunch, and it's just a tremendous time. And then they head on back. And we had had a great day of being out on the water. And and then heading back to the harbor there on the east shore of Maui. And as we're heading back, someone yells out, "There's a bottle!" Well, so what? But the guy was serious, and he said, "Skipper, hey, there's a message, there's a note, I could see it in that bottle that we just passed by." And so the skipper, the captain of the boat, turned the boat around and went back after this bottle bobbing in the Pacific. And they scooped it up and pulled it out, and sure enough, it was a letter. It was sealed, and he opens it up, and who knows how long it had been there. It wasn't dated or anything, but he opens it up, and he unfurls it, and he starts reading, and then all of a sudden, quickly, he cuts the motor, and everyone's attentive because it's a letter written by a woman to her lover. The only problem is he was married to somebody, and she was talking about their affair, and you could have heard a pin drop on that boat. And she's talking about the affair and all this kind of stuff. And then as you get kind of near the middle or the end of it, the whole thing turns. And she says, but you decided to go back to your wife and back to your family. And now what am I supposed to do? And what am I supposed to be in life? And she gets down to the bottom. I'll never forget it. She says, "I can't live without you. I won't live without you." What does that mean? We don't know because the letter ends. But we find in the middle of the Pacific a message in a bottle about a lady, a woman in need of a life. And perhaps all of those involved in that story. Something had happened in her life that rendered her thinking, "I'm going to end it all. No reason to live any longer if I can't have you." And listen, maybe today your story's not that extreme, but you're thinking, "Man, you know what? I thought it would be this way, and I thought life would be like this, and I thought by now it'd have this or have the other," and all these kinds of things. And there's a sense of at least disappointment. But today we're going to contrast about having the new life that God promises through Jesus Christ. It's absolutely radical. In fact, as we get into this, let's be honest. According to what the Bible says the new life is, you and I should have people stopping us at work or out in the community or our neighbors, and they should be asking us, "What's with your life? What's with you?" They may not agree with how we live our lives, but they should know we're different. Have you ever heard people say, "Well, I'm a Christian, just kind of, you know, I'm not like the rest of you guys. I'm kind of undercover." I want to argue with you today that that's actually impossible. The Holy Spirit is never undercover. A Christian is owned and possessed by the Holy Spirit, and he is anything but silent, and he is anything but covert. God will work in your life to some degree or another to bring the gospel out of your life as a believer. The world is in need of Christians to go public. And I'm not talking about being obnoxious or weird. I'm talking about living out your faith. And at the same time, you'll be looking for every opportunity to mention Jesus. So in our first study, we looked at this, just quick review. Number one, last week together, about getting a life, we saw in verse 16 that Jesus Christ changes our minds. Remember that? He changes our minds, and predominantly, our minds being changed regarding two great basics. In verse 16, we learned this, that from now on, we regard nobody as Christians according to the flesh. That is, we don't judge people any longer regarding status and position of the flesh. As Christians, number one thing regarding people, we do not see others like we once did. And we remember how that was brought down to us or spoken to us regarding this thing about, well, I only hang out with this group of people. I guess it's called a clique, right? Is there a new word for a clique? Or is it just a clique? God hates cliques. And if I only hang out with white people, I only hang out with black people, I only hang out with fill in the blank, rich people, poor people. God says, I hate that stuff. That God's not behind that. The moment Jesus Christ comes into your life, whatever you've been brought up with or in, that persuasion of the world and of the flesh is done away with. And Paul says, from now on, now that we're Christians, we don't even look at people the same anymore. Isn't that good news? I love that. Do you want me to get in trouble in second like I did at first service? You do, huh? You love that, don't you? Okay, that's great. I've said this before. I want to say it again. From now on, we regard no one after the flesh, okay? Listen, I personally have a difficult time thinking that the body of Jesus Christ, the church, is fragmented up. I don't see that. Today, there's Christians in Moscow worshiping Jesus, and I can go there and fellowship with them, with the same Christians in Lima, Peru. Are you with me? It's the body of Christ. By the way, I've had a chance to do that. In the services, I don't even understand what they're saying, but you can feel the presence of Jesus. It's weird and awesome. And it doesn't matter where you go in the world. Because when I take a look at heaven, heaven is like that. You see heaven, when you read in the book of Revelation, there are those who have been saved, the Bible says, Christians, and they're called from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And they're one body in Christ worshiping God. Okay, you with me? Here's where, for me, I just can't see it. It breaks my heart to see that there are churches that are the... I don't even know the names of them. It's only a black church. It's only a white church. Or it's only the first church of something Hispanic. Or it's only, you hear what I'm saying? Now look, if it's a church that has a language class to a people group because they don't speak English, I understand that. But to have a church that says we are the whatever fellowship, I don't see heaven that way. I don't see it that way. You think there's going to be a section in heaven that it's only the Korean fellowship, or it's only the honky fellowship, or it's only the black fellowship, or over there, you know, it's going to be, oh, the Assembly of God's over there, the Baptists, there's the Calvary Chapel people over there. That's not going to happen. Do you understand that? Yeah. So am I in enough trouble? Write me later. My name's Bob, if you want to email me. God has changed our minds about people. And the other thing is, we learned that in verse 16 that God has changed our minds regarding Jesus Christ. One of the absolute awesome things about what we would call conversion change is that we had an opinion about who and what Jesus was. Then God came into our lives. He drew us to Christ. Our minds were changed. And the very one that we might have used as a curse word before now is a praise word. That is awesome. That is amazing that God, and I said last week that you can set off a nuclear bomb, you can have a magnitude 10 earthquake, and I've come to learn that that power wanes in comparison to God's power to change a man or a woman's mind regarding who Jesus Christ is. Man, you go online, you make a statement, you do what I had a dream about the other day. I had a dream the other day that I was at the shops. You know the shops over here? And I, you know how they always have those antique cool cars that are parked there? There's like a Woody or something that's parked there. And I don't know, but whatever, in my dream, I was standing on the hood of that car. And I was preaching the gospel, and people were gathering around, and the crowd was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and people were going, praise the Lord, and people were cussing at the same time, which is cool. That's outdoor ministry. That's the way it is. I remember getting cussed out in Russia. I was preaching at a rock and roll bar. It was a real bar. Real rock and roll bar. And the owner of the bar said, get up there and you tell them about Jesus. I got up there and I mentioned Jesus, and you should have heard the colorful language. I didn't understand Russian, but I understood English. There, all the cuss words were in English. But I was preaching the gospel to this town, this city, and then I got arrested and woke up I'm glad I woke up, but... The dynamic of the name Jesus. You mention the name Jesus and you're going to get a reaction from people. Good, bad, or ugly, it's going to happen. The greatest power is God changing the heart and the mind of someone towards Jesus Christ. Now we come to our second point today. Second point today is this. Getting a new life, church, means this, verse 17, that Jesus Christ changed our lives. Are you a Christian this morning? Raise your hand. Raise your hand, okay? By raising your hand, you agree with me, in the past tense, Jesus Christ has changed my life. And we'll talk about this. This is very serious stuff. Listen, I want to, if it gets too heavy today, can you remember this? I'm smiling at you. I'm smiling at you. It doesn't feel like you're smiling. I'm smiling at you. Remember that. If you start to get a little bit of a sting, I'm smiling at you. Why? Because what we want to be very careful about is what Paul is teaching, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about is our reality. Look at verse 17, one of the most beloved scriptures in all of the Bible. Therefore, if anyone, who, church, who?
Anyone.
That is everyone, anyone, how about you? If you are in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Do you know we could spend a month teaching on this message or this verse every day of the week? I'm sure of it. It should be, and it could be, a great verse of encouragement, and it should be. It also needs to be a verse, as it is today for us, a verse that searches us to confirm if we are really, really a new creation in Christ or not. And what does it mean to be a new creation? Well, number one, mark it down. I'm very happy about this. The Bible announces to us that he's done this by overpowering our former legacy or inheritance. Legacy or inheritance. If you've had a mother or a father or an aunt or an uncle or a grandma or a grandpa or a caretaker, someone, in this life, someone, some system at least has put or placed an influence into your life. No matter how good, no matter how bad, you and I have come to the point of hearing the gospel, having a former legacy or inheritance. Don't raise your hand. But if you grew up in an alcoholic home, in the home of those who deal with problems, deal with life drinking, and at some point in time, you began to pick up the bottle, you began to drink. One of the great reasons why you do that or you did that was because you learned by response behavior, this is how I deal with trouble. Or when things are tough, I see, now a child doesn't process this verbally, but they process it like on a chalkboard. They see mom and dad deal with troubles by yelling and screaming, or by drinking, or by doing drugs, or by fighting. That child is being written upon, like on a chalkboard. And when their out of control moment comes, at some point in their life, they will perceive, this is out of control. They could be 13. They could be 17. They could be 25. I can't take it anymore. As much as they would like to deny that kind of answer, they'll reach for it. Why? Because it is in the exposure of how you were brought up. It's very, very powerful, very, very important. Jesus Christ in salvation, mark it, my friend, liberates us from that legacy that we were brought up in this world with. This is the power of the gospel. How many of you, I don't know if you know this, but some of the oldies like me will know this, the Scofield Reference Bible, made world history, amazing Bible. Scofield himself, he was an alcoholic, got converted. God changed his life. You mean a guy who published the Scofield Study Bible was an alcoholic? That's right, he was an alcoholic. What were you when Jesus met you? You see what I'm saying? What were you? Well, I wasn't one of those. Well, what were you? Because you know what's almost more dangerous is the person, and listen, Jesus can conquer this too, is the person who thinks, well, I'm so fantastic, I'm so good. That danger, that's a dangerous area of pride. But all of us, do we not agree, all of us needed Christ to save us from our sins, from that practice that's within us from our earliest? We've got a fallen nature, and then when we see things going on in life, we'll adopt those things, and we might have a cycle. Well, you know what? I come from a long line of fill in the blank. You may think, well, man, I don't want to have kids because if I had kids, this kid's going to be the fifth generation of nincompoops. No. The cycle is broken when Jesus Christ is introduced to that circuit. And he, like a switch, breaks it off. That is an awesome power. He overpowers our legacy so that we're no longer the same people. When we come to Christ and the power and the saving power of the gospel, that cycle breaks. And now you've got weaponry, you've got armament to fight the old you. You become a brand new person. And that former life is broken, that former legacy. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Will you circle that word in? This is a great, great thing. We need to start saying this, church. In the 21st century, we need to stop asking people, do you believe in God? Everybody believes in God. Forget about it. Stop asking people that question. It's generic. You go down the street here where a group of people worship about 10,000 gods and ask them, do you believe in God? They're going to say, well, which one are you talking about right now? So forget that. And then even listen, the term born again is being all changed these days. Born again this, born again that. Forbes magazine talked about the born again Chinese and their economic revolution. Born again. Are you born again? Born again. People on TV make, oh, we're born again. Forget the word born again anymore, even though you have to be born again. Born from above, the word means. How about this word right here? It's amazing. And it's absolute truth. Are you in Christ? I have, you know those Russian matryoshka dolls? Nesting dolls? One fits inside another, fits inside another, fits inside another. Are you in Christ? To be in Christ is that what's on the outside is seen, but what's on the inside is not. If you're in Christ, Christ is seen, you are not. It's the power of His gospel. It's the Holy Spirit's power that will live Christianity out through you. Listen, if you're in Christ, this is the key to Christianity. Can I put it to you this way? Don't try to reform yourself. Now, Reformation's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. We're all here today, by the way, because of the Reformation period, right? Martin Luther and those theologians, as they began to read the Bible for themselves, they were convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they said, look, we as priests, we don't agree with what we're doing here. We've kept everything inside the church, and the church is controlling people. And Luther said, people need to read the Bible on their own. Let's get the Bible out for everyone to read. And the organized church didn't want that to happen because people would find their independence in Christ. See, listen, religion can control people. Not good. Relationship liberates you. And Luther saw that. Tyndale and Wycliffe and others saw the power of every human being able to read the Bible for themselves and let God speak to them. So, in a sense, Reformation's good because the church which already existed needed to be reformed, meaning getting back to the Bible. Are you with me, everybody? Okay, that doesn't work when it comes to you and I reforming ourselves. We raise our right hand, we make a pledge, it's a New Year's resolution, or, the fortune cookie says so, or it's just a doggone good idea. I'm going to cut back on carbs, and we're going to make this resolution. And, you know, for me, I'm speaking from experience here just recently. I've really been eating really good for a long time and being careful about what I eat. And I don't know how it exactly happened, but a bag of barbecued Lay's potato chips made it into our house. And even when we had some friends over, and I think they might have brought it, but I said, please take these with you. And you go, no, no, it's okay. No, I said, please take them. No, no, it's okay. So now they're in the drawer, and I know they're in the drawer. I know they're in the drawer, and about 3 days ago, I walked by, and I could have sworn there was a little voice, I'm in here, open the drawer, and I didn't do it, and the thought process was, that's not good for me, I'm going to regret it after I do it, not going to go there.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson simply called, Get a Life. It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 19, where Paul explains that the true believer has been reconciled to the Father. Again, Get a Life is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, let me ask you a question. Is Real Radio part of your day? Are you learning and benefiting from Real Radio? Well, why don't you let us know? Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then click Contact Us. The rest is real easy. Or if you'd like to, you can send us a letter, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found, including our phone number, at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.